Okay, Thursday night. Tanya, we're at the end of Perek Gimel. I need a Rambam.
Rambam what?
Because you saw the Torah. I'm sorry. Okay, so the end of Perek Gimel. What has he said so far? That the nefesh has 10 kochos in it, corresponding to the 10 spheros that emanate from Hashem, emanated from Hashem, emanate probably from Hashem. And the nefesh eloka has that as well. And those 10 kochos are made up of three intellectual forces, chokhma, bina, v'das, and seven midos, which are Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Hod, Yesod, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Hod, Yesod, Netzach, thank you, and Malchus. But he, thank you very much. But he says, and he's going to say it again at the end, that really everything is Ava V'Yira, all Midos, with Ava being attracting, the midah of becoming closer, attracting, bonding, things that are makarev, are ahava. Now, all the midos can be split up really basic into two grand sets of ahava and yira. Ahava sashem, yira sashem, with ahava being the kiruv mode, attraction mode, becoming close mode, and then like yira being, whoa, you know, this is Kadosh, this is Nora, this is something I can't, you know, fathom, it has no connection with me, it's, okay. And he explained Chochma Ubina, we learned that, and he explained how they are the Emos. He didn't talk about Das, he's going to talk about Das at the end of the third parak, and they give birth to the Midos, and we said that that's the approach of Chabad, Bechlal, is the Seichel-based Midos, and all Midos have to be Seichel-based. Then he said, and we're on the Zayin Amud Beis, the Omud of Perek Gimel, the full Omud, he said, and now he goes into, like, okay, so you're going to use these Kochos, for what? For what? See, the first thing is that they will develop in him Avas Hashem v'Yiroso. Let's look at the fifth line. Upachado ki asechol shebenefesh hamaskeles kishemizbonin umamik ma'od b'gedulas Hashem. So that's like the primary avoda. The primary avoda of the nefesh eloka is to be mizbonin and madmik in gedulas Hashem. It's like amazing. Well, Chavis Halavas also, and it's like such parallel, like because they're tapping into. It's almost like a neglected field. Like when we learn Chavis Halavas once, and we were learning Shar Cheshbon. No, Shar Hatshuva. Like it was like a shocker. Like a person's bones. We don't know how to think about Kadlus Hashem. Like what am I supposed to think about? Okay, you know, he's stronger than me, that's for sure. And then now we're learning Shara Bechina, and it's like the person's supposed to develop some sort of. So that's what I'm going to get off on a tangent. So that's what the Tanya's saying too. And now he goes off a shtickle on a tangent. I want to finish the parak today. He goes off like a drop on a tangent. The tangent is one line, but that one line really sums up one of the most fundamental concepts in Hasidus, and certainly in Chabad writings, how Hashem is Mamale Kol Almin, Sovev Kol Almin, and Kulakame Kolo Choshev. That's he just says that, because you're being Mizbonin Umamik both B'Gedulas Hashem, and Gedulas Hashem, as we contemplate it and think about it, has three bechinos, they're called. Three bechinos. And the bechinos are Sovit Mamali Kalalman, Sovit Kalalman, and Kalalm, the third, Kuli Kame Kaloi Choshev. Mamali Kalalman, we said, is that everything has its unique connection to Elokus. It's like saying it's the Or Eloki, the Shefa of Hashem, relates to each thing as it is. So there's a Shefa on a table, and it's a table dikka Shefa. It's the Shefa that takes the form, not takes the form, so it doesn't take the form of a table, but it's matim to a table. And everything in the world needs a specific type of Shefa to allow it to be connected to Hashem, because in other words, so that Or Eloki is not like beyond the world. Adarabba, it's extremely connected to the world. It takes on the mashpia. It's like saying the Shemesh, like if the sun's rays, we're not talking about the sun, we're not talking about Hashem. We're talking about the sun's rays. So we're saying the sun's rays, so if it affects different objects differently, that means the sun rays are mashpia on a solid this way, because so it's relating to the sun. You don't say the sun, it's mamash above solid, above liquid, it's an energy force. Good, but when the sun's rays reaches the earth, so that's called mamale kol omen. It fills up. It's like, think of a balloon, like you fill up a balloon. So it fills up a chair, and it fills up a table, and it fills up a person, and it fills up a cat, and it fills up a dog, and it fills up a molecule, and it fills up a volcano. The Or Eloki is adapted to each nivra, whatever that nivra is. That's called mamale kol omen. By the way, the Nefesh HaChayim has these same three categories. Then you have what the Tanya calls, what Chassidus calls, the Nefesh HaChayim has different words for it. What Chassidus called sovev kol omen. It means the Nivra is attached to the Eibishter, it has to be attached, but there's an aspect of Elokus, of a Or Eloki, the sun's rays, that's mashpia on the Olam, that is beyond the differences of what objects are. It doesn't like a table and a chair and a cat and a dog and a human. It's just mashpia on the nivraim, and it's like a constant. Maybe you'd say it's the sun's rays in as much that it warms the world. So like there is no difference. No difference. Let's say a table, a chair. It warms the world. It's mashpia on the world. So that Chassidus calls sovev kol almin, as if to say it surrounds it, but it doesn't enter it. Meaning it's not mushpa at all, if you can use such words, by what the thing is. It's a constant koach. It's a constant energy force. And then you finally have the third thing is kulei kamei kolei chashiv, which says not the sun's rays in my marshal, but the sun itself. Hashem kishel atzmo, call it the orain sof, call it Hashem. Not Hashem as he's relating to the world. So that's called kuli alme kaloi chashem. Hashem is beyond the world. Hashem's being doesn't need the world to be defined or to exist or to be thought of. Hashem is Hashem. So that's the third thing. So the first two is Hashem as he relates to the world. He relates to the world in two ways. In a mamale kol omen way, where he mamish like gets into it. Let's see, a martial teacher comes into a class and he teaches the kids. So, by the way, these mashalim are constantly said in Chassidus. In Chassidus, especially in Chabad Chassidus, these bechinas are constantly referred to, and these mashalim are always given. And it really, there's a lot of usage of these. So, let's say you have a teacher coming into a class and teaching. So, in the gather of Mamale Kol Almen, he will teach each kid according to his individual's capabilities in the gather of Mamale Kol Almen. If the teacher is working together Mamale Kol Almen, He'll be able to relate to each kid, give each kid what he needs. He knows the strengths and weaknesses of each kid, and he'll teach them. He's still teaching them the class. He's teaching them math, or he's teaching them Mishnayos. But he's able to relate to each kid and give each kid what he needs. There, the Rebbe's acting as Mamalei Kol Alamin. Then, the Rebbe could be, and some Rebbeim are, a Soiviv Kol Alamin. They're teaching the class. But they're not relating to each kid as an individual. They're just mashpi on the class. Let's say they're teaching. They're not doing it. So that's also a koach. Each individual, you know, picks up what he can, but it's a constant, unchangeable force or koach, and it doesn't adapt to each student of its own. And maybe sometimes the Rebbe has to do that. I don't know, like you could say if the Rebbe is, so I was imagining in my marshal, you know. So we'll say if a painter comes in to paint the class, he's not relating to each kid as an individual. Each kid might look at the paint, at the color, and get something different out of it. One kid might appreciate the beauty, one kid might appreciate the freshness, one kid, you know, but the painter is not being Mamale Kol Alamin, he's being Soiviv Kol Alamin. He's painting the class. That's like one thing. And then, like if the president of the United States, because in Israel, it's not a demus that we want. The last couple presidents have been bad news. Pretty sick. It's a good sign of a sick society. Anyway, but if the president of the United States, if a demus walks into the class, so he's not teaching them. He's not teaching them even. He just walks in. Harry says, "Wow, president walked in." And he doesn't relate to the class at all. He has his entourage. Like the Melech walks in to a class. See, and he's not teaching the class. He's not, that geder would be Kuli Alma Kaloch Hashiv. He's not relating to the class at all. So he is a little because he's appearing to the class. But here also, Al Karchach, if you have to think about Hashem in his role, call it, of Kuli Alma Kaloch Hashiv, and you're supposed to be Mizbonein in the Godless Hashem, in as much that he's Mamale Kol Alamin, in as much that he's Sovev Kol Alamin, and in as much that he's Kuli Alma Kol Achashiv, which we'll be learning about, and certainly other Sifri Chabad talk about it. But that is like the hardest, the most difficult, because by definition you talk about the Orein Sof, and he doesn't relate to people. So how are you supposed to? Maybe you just contemplate the intellectual yediyah that it exists. Maybe that's all it means. Okay. So he says from that, and he just threw that in. I'm not even sure why he threw that in. I don't remember hearing from Rabbi Yehuda. Like, why do you throw that in now? Okay. So you're thinking about Hashem. Nolda v'nesora midas yiras haromamus b'mocho u'machshavto. Yiras haromamus. We all know yiras haonish, right? We know that. That's like a low madrega. I don't even think in Chabad thought yiras haonish is something that the nefesh eloki. I don't think even it's a midah in the nefesh eloki. I think it's a midah in the nefesh abahami. I mean, you're scared of getting a patch. That's nefesh abahami. That's not nefesh eloki. But nefesh eloki also has two madregas. There's yiras chait, where you're like in awe of this person, and like the thought of violating his will is just no way. Like no way. That's yiras haromamus. I'm sorry. That's yiras chait. That you can't even count. You are afraid to violate his will. Not because he's going to punish you. It's just, like, how can I go against the Melech Malchei Amloch and the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Yiras HaRomamus is even higher. Yiras HaRomamus is referred to in Sfarim as Bittul. And that's why he talks about Busha. The Rambam has a very nice lashon there. You know, he's talking about Yiras HaRomamus, which is Right, it's beyond Yiras Chet. It's just awe of you know, you just, you know, like you can't move, you're bottled to it. You realize that, you know, your existence is completely totally in this, and like you're paralyzed, you know. It's like someone walks into the room who's like, your whole existence is totally in. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, Reish Perek Beis, when he's talking about contemplating nature. So Reish Perek Beis is, he says, Ukshemachashe bedvarma elu atzman miyad hu nirta la'achoro v'yifchad v'yodeya shehu briya ktano shfeilo